How you been? It's been
Well, man, goddamn.
years. I mean, been years. Where you been?
I've just been cooling, bro.
You have been in Rome, Georgia. I know that.
You saying what?
Friends, it is the one and only The Lips of the Bell, Mimi Nava, and you're watching The Lips of the Bell, the podcast that helps you flourish. And you know, my guests usually introduce themselves because I don't want to take that away from you. You can go ahead and just let them know who you are, what you do, because I already know what you do.
Now, my name is Suave, S-W-A-V-E, with a line on top. I am a producer and I am a musician. I love music.
All right. I'm about to be real obnoxious, but tell them who you've worked with.
For different genres of different artists, I have worked in the producing field. I have worked with Keen Blanco. I worked with Squale. Leaky Bezelman, but I guess he really don't count because he's like,
that's your friend.
We on the same team, so it's like, he don't really count. Yeah, it don't really count. But Destiny, I guess she don't really count either, but Destiny, for live music, I was working with Crystal Carr. That was gonna be a good show in Paisley Park. Whole band and everything, but sadly, it got shut down. So but I can't really speak on it, but you know, soon, you know, I think she's planning on doing something else, but that I can't really speak on. That involves live arrangement. So, those are just a couple of the artists right there.
I don't think people understand is that, like, I've seen people follow your page and seen people really just take to like the beats you would make and be like, oh, this is so and so. So I'm just like, nah, like he made that.
Some people would like, they really think that's a song, to be honest. And they really think I'm posting the artist, because like, if I make a beat for you, I'm gonna support you. So if I do anything for you, I'm gonna support you. So I'm gonna share it. So they'd be like, hey, you know, that's your song? I'm like, no, I made the beat, you know. And a lot of people, you know, for producers, we really in the background. So it's like, you know, if somebody hear a Drake song and you're not one of the top producers, they'd be like, who is this man? Like,
right.
Who is that guy?
I think people don't realize the background to working, but I don't think people realize like how it is to work behind the scenes. They always know the front people.
Oh, no. Behind the scenes, it's like, well, for me, it's crazy. Like, my music grind is like, anybody, you can ask anybody to know me, my music grind is consistent, like,
right,
heavy. Like, I be like 7 o'clock in the morning, gotta go to work the next morning. Like, I'm up making beats, I'm up making hits, I'm up perfecting my craft, either on the keyboard, on the drums, or in my production, like, or in my engineering. I'm up, I get on my Silver's nerves and all that, you know, with all these live music, but they understand. So, I'm, you know, the grind is there, it's not just hop on the beat and go, you know. Especially right. With artists like Drake, Summer Walker, whoever, it can be J. Cole. Like, for a producer, you got to get it right. You have to get it right, because you might think, like, man, this beat hard. Let me show J. Cole some. J. Cole here, he's like, no, man, your beat trash. And
right.
Then you're
yeah.
Like, dang.
Yeah.
You're like, dang, man. Like, I done put my heart and soul into this. Nope, you got to get better.
Right.
Like, they'll tell you like that, man. So, you know, the grind is consistent, man, to, you know, just to be known.
And when you, I always wondered, like, I met Jensen, Jensen made another one. I met him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I met him. I met OG Parker. Yeah, I met OG Parker. I went to an event where it was, like, a lot of producers. It was Jensen made, OG Parker. Who was the other one? He made a song that everybody really just knows, but it was a lot of the hottest producers in the room. And it was one thing that they said, it was that the thing that helped them was really just the fact that they just made stuff every single day. They said they had 500 tracks just set aside that they hadn't even touched or finished like mixing. And I was like, dang, like that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's like that. Like I got the same portfolio. Like my, this laptop I have for about a couple of years. So I got about 800 tracks that nobody heard, you know. The main ones people heard are like the ones that's either on the songs or that's out. And that's only like a good 35 of them. So that's like 35 out of like 800 that I already got stored. But like the thing is like, and another thing is with making a beat every day, you know, you don't really necessarily have to, but you don't want to get rusty. So like I don't make beats every single day. You know, sometimes I just go back and like kind of listen to my old stuff and see like, you know, I made this back and when I didn't know how to mix. Let's see how it sound now with my new skill where I can practice on my mixes before I can't do it on a new beat. So like it's just the fact of don't get rusty. Like you don't never want to lose your skills. That's why I go hard on my live arrangements as well as my production. I never want to lose any of my skill.
Wow. That's actually really cool. And I think one of the coolest things I've thought about producers is that sometimes people don't really, I think the coolest thing I like about producers is like their tags. Their tags, because it's in the song, people gonna sing it, and it's just like, the thing for producers when I realized, especially for like OG Parker and Jetson, they were like, I don't know what my tag gonna be. Because they were making all this stuff, but they didn't have they were saying that they made all this stuff for all these songs, and they were saying no one knew that I made this beat until I sat here at this panel and just told y'all I made this beat, but I didn't have a tag. It took them forever to choose a tag. They were like, they weren't thinking about, oh, let's make a tag so they know it's me. It was just kind of like, let me make the beat, make it fire, get this check, and then just do type of thing. Like they weren't really thinking about the tag.
Like for a lot of producers, like people that make Kendrick Lamar's beats, like they don't have a tag, but they're well known. I watched a documentary of one of the producers. He's an old head, like about 60 something years old, but he's very musical. So I'm watching him, he doesn't have a tag at all, but he gets the money, he gets paid. But with certain stuff, you know, with certain genres, you know, if you got a tag, you always want to make sure the tag is catchy. Like, oh Lord, Jetson made another one. Like that's catchy.
And it comes on Metro, before sure. Like when she come on, everybody say, oh Lord, Jetson made it. Like, I don't know. Like, I think someone in the crowd asked, is it important to have a tag? Because they were saying that they know some producers, like you said, that they don't have one, but they still get paid. They still get the money. The people that are important know who they are, not the fans, but the people that are important know who they are.
Yeah, like you'll be very surprised. Like, a lot of these rappers, like famous rappers, they get their beats from YouTube. Lil Nas X got his beat from BeatStars. So whoever made that beat, you a rich son of a gun. Like you know, you got money.
For which song?
Old Town Road.
Yeah, I remember they're rich, very rich.
Oh yeah, so it's not like people be surprised. Like I'm not gonna like say their name, but like because of, you know, manager issues, but like you know, somebody had, you know, like sent me some files like of an exclusive session, and I looked in the files and it was like, you know, can you like redo this? And I was like, redo what? So I looked in the files, it was like a Bryson Tiller her Summer Walker type beat that they got from YouTube. And I'm like, you want me to do this and I'm not even super high in that level yet. I mean, I'm not saying I can't, but I'm like, you want me to do this? I'm like super high. It was a good opportunity, like a great opportunity. I did it. But like, it amazes me, like, you know, like people still get their beats from YouTube. That's why a lot of producers put their beats on YouTube, because one of my homies got Rod, you know, Rod Waves, AR hit him up and was like, you know, we want to use this beat for Rod Waves, you know, next music. So he did that, and it was on from then. But like, it's just crazy. You'll be surprised what artists do and what producers do.
Do you think that, I guess, posting stuff on YouTube can be a little dangerous, because that sometimes people will use things and not give the credit or not pay the money? And we see that a lot with people on TikTok. People will use people's stuff. People will use people's mixes and not pay them. I think the...
You have to get your stuff copyrighted. Like, go through BMI if you need. Like, go through BMI if you know, if you mess with BMI, go through them. Go through DistroKid. Shout out DistroKid, by the way. But yeah, like, if you get your stuff copyrighted, you wouldn't have to worry about that. If anybody uses your song in any video, anything, you're gonna get paid off of that. And another thing is, if your beats are not, or if your song is not, you know, registered, then it's another way that's possibly another way you can blow up. Cause who knows, like, if Adderall, that song, you know, Corvette, if that song wasn't registered, I'm pretty sure like somebody would recognize him, like, dude, who is this song? You know, who's right behind this song? So then, you know, then they'll get
I just know that the person that mixed the Travis Porter with Meg, he's getting crazy attention. He was a DJ, and he was getting crazy attention with the body, and they put it on a Travis Porter beat. They put it on the running in a, make it crash, or bending over. Put it with that, and it went hard. I was like, everyone was like, oh, this is good. This is crazy. Like, Meg should have been around in this era, and everyone's on TikTok dancing to it. But it's just like, where's the credit for the man that made it? And the thing, so he didn't know it's gonna blow up. He's just on Instagram Live, and he made that beat, like, in front of people. He made that beat in front of people. He wasn't thinking that it was gonna just be what it was. So, like, for situations like that, what do you do? Cause, like, he was just on IG Live having fun, and he just posted the video cause it got so many views.
For situations like that, I'm pretty sure they would go through the legal way about it if they're not, because really, like, the music business is like, but like, you gotta have your stuff registered, man. You got to. If somebody just go on and like, and it's unregistered, they steal your stuff, the music industry, they don't show no remorse, boy. They finna get you, and you ain't gonna get no money off of that because it's not registered. So, you know, you want to have it registered, but in that situation, take it to court. I mean, or hit up the manager, hit up their manager if you can reach them. Or if you can't reach the manager, they are, you know, take them to court, man. I mean, if you got the blueprint, you good.
I mean, can you do that, even though, because, like, it's not his beat. He just mixed it because he's just a DJ. It ain't like he produced
it. Oh, it's like he mixed it.
Yeah, he mixed it. But everyone's using it now as a sound. It's a sound on TikTok now with the Travis Porter beat under Meg's new song, Body. And he went viral. He's gotten a lot of exposure. Like, he said that he's having a lot. It's opened opportunities up for him. But I haven't seen him actually want, I guess, the monetary... he doesn't want... he hasn't expressed that he wants to receive any monetary, like, type of gain from that. And it concerns me because, as a creative, I ain't feeling nobody try to take my stuff and say... and just use it for fun. I see everybody dancing with my stuff. Everyone's buying my stuff. Everyone's saying that they listen to the bill. Like, I'm gonna be pissed. I wouldn't care how many opportunities they get. I would be pissed if somebody tried to come and say, hey, I'm gonna listen to the bill. What? Hold on, wait a minute. No, you're not. When I said I'm the one and only, I really meant I'm the one and only. No. So it's kind of just like, it concerns me how sometimes people, their intention wasn't to be famous. And those are people that get taken advantage of. Because they don't take the time to do the business aspect, the PR aspect.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Because that's what makes people the one-hit wonders, or they were the trend of 2020. And then when we're like 30, we hear about them later on and how they were broke. They went viral, but they were broke because they didn't intend for it to happen. They weren't prepared. And then I have a great example of the opposite. I think the man that has the Where the Money Resides, as soon as he saw that video go viral, as soon as he knew that, oh, the lady that owns Crayon Cake, which is one of the biggest makeup companies besides Pat McGrath, posted my video, copyright already within 24 hours. That's his. Any jewelry he has, tax write off, because that's his. And it was just kind of like, everyone was like, how'd he get that to happen so fast? And it's like, if you know that you have something that no one else has, you better get your paperwork.
Oh yeah, got to.
You better get your paperwork. People were so shocked and really just surprised because how fast he got his stuff together. And I was like, why are we so surprised by that? Like, he created this saying that everybody's talking about, some where the money reside, where the money reside. Of course, and then he's a car salesman. You're not finna play no car sales.
Oh, no.
You're not finna play no car sales. People work all day about legalities. So, no.
Right.
So, no, I think it's just that we need to see more of that happen. Because he didn't intend for that to blow up, but he just knew if it did, he'll be all right. And I think that some people need to think more in that area. Even if you aren't trying to get famous, it's just still like, that's yours. Because TV shows going to start using his stuff. He's already making appearances in places and getting paid to just show up and say, where the money resides. Like,
it's crazy.
I don't know. I think it's a very tricky thing that I've had to sit and deal with. Because I've had to sit with the PR side of myself, of just like, just the media industry. Because, and I'm just like, oh my God, PR. It's just, honestly, I'm gonna say this right now, I'm good at PR, but I hate it. Because those are the people that are the cutthroat people within the music industry, within the such and such industry. Like, those are the cutthroat people. Those are the people that are saying, like, well, yeah, we took your beat, but like, legally speaking, that, you don't have any paperwork. We don't know who you are. You're really nobody.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and we can do that. I couldn't be that person. I got told, like, oh, you can make money from doing PR. Like, oh, you should do this PR internship. I said, I can do internships all day. But when it comes to the point, like, if I leave, once I graduate and I get career offers, I will not take a PR one. I will freelance journalism until a publication picks me up. Like, I cannot do it. You're telling someone how they should be so they're marketable. You're telling someone how they should go about their vision when they've been doing this longer than you and you have no experience on what they're doing. And it's just, it didn't make sense to me at all. They didn't care.
I mean, like, and it's like that, you know, it can be a situation where, you know, if you made something, it don't have to be a beat, but if you made something, somebody take it. If you don't got the paperwork legally, they can do what they want with it.
Yeah.
You know, legally, they can do what they want. But, you know, I mean, what you going to do? I mean, like, you didn't have the paperwork. So, I mean, you can't take that L.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, it's just that I couldn't do the PR because I run into people like you who were very talented, doing what they were doing. And the only thing is they didn't have the business aspect. And instead of teaching them and protecting them, they would use them. And it's just like, I would see it just left and right. And you know, this is like a mentor of mine I look up to, and I'm just like, oh wow, like I wanna be a journalist, I wanna be this and the third, but I was just like, wait a minute. This is not what I had in mind off the bat. Like, I was not gonna come up in here and break up somebody's entire career because of a piece of paper we could probably let them go get. We got folks that can write this stuff up within a day, and you finna use them and just phew. Like, I was like, wait a minute, we can help these folks. Like, they talented. All they need is the paperwork. Why don't we give them the paperwork? Honestly, I got in trouble for speaking up. I was like, first of all, they're your client. You know what they need. You know what they don't need. Business-wise, that's your job to get the paperwork that they don't have before somebody chews them up and spits them out. And you over here you doing what the other folks about to do. But you just like, well, I'm taking their money. It doesn't matter. And they need me because they don't know what else to do but the talent. And it's just
That's the thing, you know, I'm a caution to everybody, like everybody listening, please, man, especially if you're going into music. You think the music business is one of the most dangerous games, man. So you think, are you really finna go into the music business with no knowledge whatsoever? You really shouldn't. Like, I would say, like, cause I do study up on the music business, you know, due to my background, you know, I'm studying on it. I see what's going on. I even read books on it. You know, I have a certain calendar of days of what I want to study today. Like, you know, I do, you know, psychology, or I might just, you know, do producing or something like that. Like, but I'm always studying something.
Right.
You know, especially with music. Like, you have to know the music business. You can't just be good and not have the knowledge. Your knowledge is literal power. So you got to understand. Otherwise, you're going to be finessed out your money. You're going to be
honestly,
finessed.
I'm glad you said that, because I don't think people realize that media is not just in the TV for the TV. Like, no, the people that are managing you, that's media. The people that are sitting here trying to make you marketable, that's media. And yeah. I say the same thing. I tell people all the time, like, make sure that whatever brand, I keep people like trying to create brands, their YouTube channels up on their Instagram page, like all their stuff is up where everybody can see it. And it's just like, okay. And people will come to me, they'll be like, hey, you know, I see you got your business. I see you got your content. You got three different platforms. Like, that's different. No one's doing that. And they're like, what made you want to get a business so quickly? I said, if I didn't have the paper to say this is mine, any content I would have made would have been equated to toilet tissue. Literally.
Oh, God.
Completely. Oh, God. Toilet tissue. And it's like, I've been the list of the bill for 2 years, since I was 18. So like, honestly, it's like, it would have been so dumb if I left college and let that be just a college thing. I'd have been like, bro, that's dumb. Like, so the same thing with telling people, like, yeah, get your business. Cause like, get your business together. I'm saying, like, you got to get an actual business license. Like, no, but like, get your stuff in order. Like, it is so, even within journalism, I've seen people try to take words and say like, yeah, I wrote this. And it's just like, no, where is your name on this byline? Like, it didn't say by you, so you didn't write it. Like, you're not on the credit line. Right. Yeah, I tell people all the time, be very careful, especially creatives. All my friends, they're creatives. Like, they're either filmmakers, they're journalists, or they're just artists. I'm like, be careful with kind of what you post on social media. And I was like, don't post nothing until that project is done. Because as soon as you post a preview, somebody else sound like you.
Right. And you know, it's like that, you know, the media, they'll take any simple thing and blow it up, man. Like, and it could be the simplest stuff, as far as, you know, that dude that was saying, you know, I need my stimulus packet, all that, you know.
And the dude, and he blew up. His son made the beat and everything, like, that's his.
And now, you know, now people make beats over it, and then they get famous, like, what's his name, Sway the remix guy, like, he known for doing that. But you know, he's the actual producer. But like, if he get a hold to it, oh boy,
they're gonna forget about all of those. It's not yours anymore, really. And I think, I don't know, like, I've seen many people, even my friends who are fashion designers, they'd be like, oh, Fashion Nova stole this, that, and the third. I was like, wait, whoa, what a minute. And I'll look at their brand, like, I'll buy from these people, like, I'll buy my clothes from these people, because like, I see it. I know that they handmade it, so it's not finna be cheap, you know, tear apart. So I'm like, oh, let me support my folks. And I'll see the same thing. I had a roommate that will shop on Fashion Nova, and I was like, bro, why are you shopping on there? Like, all they do is steal from people that we go to school with. They'll steal their designs that they worked hard in the fashion department for like weeks at a time. Like, we see this on the homecoming fashion show. And then the next week, as soon as our fashion show pictures go viral, Fashion Nova Gotti. I was like, why do you support them? She's like, well, their clothes are cheap, it's accessible. I said, bro, we just were on a market and all of our friends were on that market selling their clothes and you didn't buy not a lick of their stuff. I said, you're backwards. You're the reason why these folks be getting their stuff stolen, because you support people that are the ones doing the stealing. I was like, you can't think that's fine.
You gotta support, man. You gotta support who supports you. You gotta help, you know, especially if you call them your friends, man. Support.
Right.
Support is key. I'm telling you. A lot of these rappers wouldn't even, or a lot of, you know, fashion people, they know, a lot of people wouldn't even believe in nobody if it wasn't for support, man. Like, you gotta support.
You do.
You have to.
Yeah. You do. And I know, speaking of support, and because folks that are watching may not know that we come from the same place. They don't know that.
Oh, yeah, 706.
706, look, period.
No,
look, right. They don't know, but it's not Augusta, it's Rome, Georgia. I know they came first, but nobody care about them. Anyway.
Right.
Look, you heard somebody talk about some Augusta? No? Okay. Anyway. Look, you know it too. That's why you left.
Dude, it's Rome, Georgia.
Rome, Georgia. Period. But no. Speaking of support, because you've been into music from just being in church playing, the drums, anything like that. How was that transition when you went completely full-time into it? What was the support like from the 706 period? Did it increase? Did you feel a difference? Did the folks changing up on you? Like, because I got some stories.
Man, look. It was really like the same. The people that really supported me, but at the same time, it's like I had lost a supporter, and it was like, dang, you know, I had lost a very important supporter, and I was just like, dang, bro, you know, oh well, but you know, and the other people that supported me, they helped me, you know, get through that. And it was like, you know, even with this, my studio I got now, I mean, you can't see all of it because it's in the back.
Right.
But I support, like, my boy Byron up there in Cartersville. He was just like, you know, back when I didn't have nothing, he was just like, man, you know, I see your gift. I see, like, what you're doing and I like it. I want to support you. And he gave me an interface. He gave me two JBL speakers. And
wow.
All of that. And he gave me a cage to put around my mic. And I was like, man, like, bro, thank you. I don't know how to thank you, you know, but we, you know, he's one of my fellow musician friends. And, you know, I go out there to Carsville, you know, we do live stuff all the time, like Shed, we call them Sheds. We playing the drums and all that. We go out there all the time. We network, like, and we just want to grow with each other. You know, I have a whole family of musicians, like not just blood family, but like I have a whole family. We support each other. Whatever you need, if you don't got it, I'll give it to you free of charge. Like, that's why I love, you know, the people that's in my circle right now, you know, as far as the support system goes, you know, y'all, I love y'all, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, the support, it's been crazy ever since I was little with them. Like, it's been crazy. And now, you know, now I'm getting recognized more. So now my, you know, following going up and, you know, support is coming in strong. And, you know, a lot of people don't see the following off of social media. That's the thing about it. Like, you know, for me, I don't really care about the following on Instagram or nothing. It's cool. Like, you got people that have like 57 followers that are like well known. Like, they
right.
famous. I'm like, how you got 57 followers? But like outside of that, they moving, they networking, they connecting, and they supporting. So, I mean, the support has to be there.
Have you ever had an urge to like want to move? I guess because like I've always heard this saying, it's like if you want really, really, really like solid supporters, you gotta leave your hometown first. Have you ever felt like that applied to you?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Like, I want to move out of here now. I mean, I want to move out of here now. It's not just that though. I feel like, you know, as from where I'm from, like, well, you know, from Rome, like, there's nothing here from me to like accomplish more, like as far as like producing a musician. Like down here, I'm like the number one drummer. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't got to worry about that. Then, you know, R&B producing, you know, we got a lot of trap down here. That's right. That's whatever. But R&B producing and like just popping all the other stuff, that's different stuff, you know, I already done did it. You know, I had people come in. I'm not going to say their name either. You know, it's a lot of grimy people out there. But like, I had people come from other companies in Rome or other producers that they, you know, they're not even supposed to be talking to me. They come in, they ask me, they're like, hey, can you remake this beat? Because my producer and my, you know, my team can't do it. Mm. And I'll be like, bro, I'll be like, that's why I'm not going to say their names, but like, I'll be like, you know, I got you, man. I got you. You know, I'll do it for you.
Right. You know?
And it's like, you know, for me, Rome, Georgia, it's besides my friends and family, you know, for me to progress in my career, I need to elevate, you know, toward somewhere else, you know.
As you should.
I'm going to say outside of Georgia, period. Like, I will go to Atlanta, but no. But that's coming. I'm not really spilling no tea, but like, probably like the end, probably like June, July, you know, you'll probably see me. You probably most definitely will see me post something that'll be like, you know, I'm going from Georgia.
Whenever you're in the city, like, you gotta let me know, and I'ma just, cause I'm here, I'm here in the actual city. Like, someone's be like, I'm in Atlanta, and they be 30 minutes away from here. No, like, I'm by everything.
I'm trying to network more in Atlanta. Because I feel like that's where your music has to come through, is Atlanta, to really
pop. I'm
going
to say this right now. I'll say this right now. I moved to Atlanta because I realized that the media was just going crazy. Like, of course, with radio been up there. But when it came to the publications, the writing, they actually, I was like, okay, they got strong writing. Because you usually hear about Chicago, New York, LA, LA Times. You know, Chicago Tribune, like, and I was like, okay, I'm hearing stuff about the AJC, I'm hearing stuff about, like, all these people starting their media outlets and all these podcasts, and, like, you know, perfect example, 85 South Show, like, they came to Atlanta. So I'm seeing stuff like that, and I was following them, and they were just in a room talking on YouTube. They weren't even a comedy show yet. And I was just like, dang, that's crazy. And I feel like, I don't know, I had to get out immediately. Like, as soon as high school's over, I said, I gotta get out. I got to get out. Like, and yeah. I don't know, like, you know, for some people who probably haven't been to college or, like, lived in a dorm, that's also very restricting. Like, I hated living in the dorms. Like, I love the memories and, like, the fun you can have. You go what you want to do what you want to do. But at the same time, it's different when you're, it releases a different type of hunger when you're on your own and rent ain't paid for the semester. It's a different type of encouragement when you know that you gotta eat. Ain't no calf. Where your groceries at? Ain't no tuition. Where's your rent? Ain't no, like, it's actual life. So when you choose, I tell people, when you choose to come down here and you are living, like, you're not here for school. Some people come out here for school because use as a crutch because they know that they lived in the city and get ate alive. And I've seen people, it will chew them up and spit them out. People will come from up north and be like, okay, I'm gonna live down here. It's gonna be easier because I'm from up north. I was like, all right, try. Chew them up and spit them right back out because there's no crutches. You either walk or you fall. And it's like, I felt like I needed to learn how to walk again. Just to leave. I felt like I needed to walk again. And just being in Atlanta at first, I was like, okay, adjustment. Like, let me live in the dorm. Because I had to. But I realized, okay, living in the dorm, like, this is easy. Like, I'm not encouraged to get no job. I'm not encouraged really to, like, be up on my shit. I'm not really encouraged to, like, really tap into my career for real. And I see people around me, they working with celebrities. They working with rappers, they over here at their music video shoots and doing stuff. I'm just like, man, like, I can do that too. Hold on, wait a minute. They don't even live in the dorm. They're not worried about college shit and trying to be on campus every day and do the campus shit and be in the campus. It's like, they did that shit, but they had the balance with their actual career because they were like, do I want to work now or do I want to graduate and have to worry about just getting a job just for the hell of it and I don't enjoy what the hell I'm doing. And it's kind of like there's a sacrifice you have to make when you want to be successful and be young. And I had to pick that up so quickly and be like, all right, so in order to get the things I want and have and stack my money, fun is going to be a different definition for me. Fun is going to be something that is not the common definition, and I'm going to have to be okay with that. And that was kind of what I had to do. That's kind of what I had to do because I know that I wanted to be in a certain spot. And I think that, I hate to say it, the things that I would say things like that as soon as I graduated high school, I would say things like that. And I realized that the people around me were not on that type of time. And I was like, I gotta get the hell up out of here. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta go. Long story short, like, I'm not finna like say the instances or like say anything that people have said to me, but I was like, I gotta go. And my first time coming back home, I was like, what the fuck? I'll tell someone about what I'm doing and they'll just be like, oh, so you're bragging? I was like, huh? I was like, what? Bragging? Like, I'm an honor student. Like, it took me forever to get to the honors program. I had to do so many classes, so much work, so many papers.
That's like a name, bro. Like, I hate when people do that, bro, because I got accused of that too. I'm like, bro, like, nobody is bragging on you. Can't, there's no, you know, bragging on your success, bro. You're just telling the benefits, bro. You put in the hard work. If you put in some hard work,
right,
I mean, why wouldn't you share it with other people? Like, if I'm making huge money off of my stuff, and like, I'm not just gonna flex it, like, hey, you know how people do that. I'm like, I'm not just gonna,
right, I'm not gonna do that.
Like, I'm gonna just be like, you know, hey, you know, God bless me, man. I'm reaping his benefits. You know, I'm happy, man. You know, so, you know, thank you to everybody that supported me. You know,
right,
nobody hated on me. You know, I'm gonna tell y'all about what happened if I really mess with you. I'm gonna tell everybody what happened.
Well, I think the hurtful thing about when I came back and I evolved to a different person was that I realized they didn't really rock with me like that. They rocked with the person that was in high school, just enjoying the privilege of my mommy and daddy taking care of things and not have to worry about really anything and having any type of obstacle to overcome because mommy and daddy got it. They were used to spoil me. And so when I came back and I surrounded myself with different people who were very encouraging. Yeah. They were like, oh, you should do this. Like, you'll be really good at this. They would put me on the shit. And it wasn't like they would just say to me I was good just because they wanted to hear themselves talk. Like, they would tell me I was good and then put me in a position to show that I was good. And I realized that, like, folks that rock with you, they gonna do that because they want to, not because they want something back or they want something, they want their name on some shit. They doing it because they think like, nah, bro, like, you good. I'm gonna put you on because you deserve this type of shit. And I realized that, like, coming back, and it was a lot of grown people, they were like, they felt that I thought I was better. And that's like, I won't say that I was better, but I do deserve the things that I received. And I did deserve to get the hell up out of here because I'm in high school talking about the things I want to do. And you're brushing it off like I'm not going to do it. I was like, hold on, wait a minute. I said, I got to go. I got to go.
Right.
I got to get out of here fast and in a hurry. Like, I stayed, I think this was after the dorms. I stayed there for a summer and I was like, this is so draining. Like, I cannot be here. I cannot stay here. This is so draining. I can't tell people what I got going on. And if I do tell, it's simple things. It's like, I have an interview like this set up. People just bust in and out my room. I said, oh, hell no, I gotta go. I gotta be in a space to where, like, if I tell folks I'm in an interview, don't even knock on the door type of shit. Like, you know that, like, you hear me talking, don't step foot near the door. Respect, like that type of respect. And I wasn't getting it. And I was really fed up and I was being labeled as a bitch, very demanding because I was demanding the type of shit. I was like, bro, I can't have something like this set up and you walk in and they hear you talking. It's like, that's not professional. Wendy Williams don't have her show where folks just walking around talking about fucking nonsense during her show while she's talking. She don't have that shit going on. Like, no, this is a talk show. Like, we gotta have it professional. We gotta have it at the highest quality that I can get it at the moment. And if you can't respect the fact that I don't need you talking, I don't need you yelling my name as I'm in an interview. I told you, interview at 2. Why are you yelling my name at 2:30? No. I forgot. No. You have no respect. And that's what it is. That sounds right. And I was like, I can't. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Right. You're right.
And it's just that it hurts because it was people that I had so much love for. And I think that was the fucked up part. Right. I was like, because I was so excited to tell them the 2 semesters worth of shit I did, all the people that I met. I was like, oh, I met Rico Presley, I met Major, I met da-da-da-da, I met OG Parker, I met all the folks that we listen to, we were getting geeked up over it, and they just over here like, whatever. I was like, damn, like, I've been waiting to tell y'all niggas this shit, you know, since when it happened.
Hey, man.
And then I get home. I was like, oh my, get home, I'm gonna see my friends, I'm gonna let them know what's up. And funny thing is though, like, I had friends that were just like, they just stopped talking to me while I was in school. They saw what I was doing and I would check on them, because, like, you know, I just like to check on people, and I'll check on them and they'd just be like, oh yeah, I don't feel like we align anymore. I feel like you talking about me, you making me feel bad, you making me feel like thinking like you better than me. I was like, what, hold on. I said, you wanna stop being friends because I'm telling you what I'm doing every week, every other day? I said, oh, hell no. You can go. I was like, you can go. People be like, you don't have friends in your hometown? I said, no. If I go to my hometown, bitches hate me.
Bro, let me tell you something.
I tell people, bitches hate me in my hometown. If I show my face, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if someone jumped my ass and whooped me. I really wouldn't. That's so sad to say. Literally. But it's like, people really hate your guts that bad, they might as well jump you. That's how I feel. Like, you might as well just jump me, so that the amount of hate you have in your heart towards me.
I mean, it really, I feel like people get that in really their cities for real. Like, it's crazy. Like, majority of the hate come from your own city. You know, like, you know, Rome. I'm not dissing. I ain't gonna diss Rome because I'm from here.
Right,
but we're gonna lay it out. Like, it's playing. Majority of the females and dudes down here, they do hate on success because they want you to stay. They want you to stay where they, like, either under them or with you know them. Even with them. Yeah, like, even with them. So I'm like, you know, I ain't trying to be with that, bro. Like, my time in Rome has, like, I mean, like, there's nothing more here for me. I done did what I need to do here, man. Like. And it was crazy. Like, a lot of people was hating on me, bro. Like, a lot of people try to copy my stuff, bro. And I'm like, bro, like, y'all gotta have your own thing. That's what, like Rome is just like, it's a lot of drama, and it's a lot of, it's just a lot of drama and fights here, man. It's the country.
I realize that, though, because I don't think you realize, like, I moved from Cobb County to Rome. I was born in Rome, but I spent 6 years living in Cobb County, so I had to say, I didn't even think I was from Rome. I just knew that's where my parents were from. So I'm thinking, like, I'm not from Rome. Because for the longest, I didn't claim I was from Rome. I was like, I'm from Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. And I didn't know anything about the city. I was like, I don't align with this city at all. Like, even as a young child, I was like, no, I'm from Rome. I'm from Atlanta. That's why I would say, I'd be like, I'm from Atlanta. And we living in Cobb County, and then people from Atlanta, like, bro, no, you're not. But I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to say I'm from Rome because I only lived there for 2 years and I moved and started school somewhere else. So, like, they're like, oh, so you were born in Rome and you were raised in Cobb County? I said, yeah, I'll say that. Like, I would say anything to not claim Rome. And I was just like, dang, I can't act like this because, like, my family here, everything right. That, you know, all my roots are there. So I was like, okay, I can't really sit up and just diss them, but at the same time, it's like, I have a reason to. Like, I got here and I was like, you know, I hate to say, as soon as I touched in Rome, bitches are like, oh, you think you all of that? You think you this, that, and the third? I was like, bro, I'm fucking different from y'all. Like, I'm not gonna do what y'all do and move how y'all move. Like, y'all weird to me. You talking about I'm weird? Y'all fucking weird. Y'all fucking
hey. Real.
Like, I'm just like, and my parents are just like, it's okay, you'll be fine. I'm like, I don't want to be here no more. And they got so mad, they would get so heated. They'd be like, what you mean you don't want to be here no more? We done put you through this school. We done put you in this closet. Take me out. I don't like this school neither. Like, I didn't like, honestly, I can't count. I can count my hands the good experiences that I've had being in that city. Just being in that city as a whole. Like, I have pride for it, though, because that's my roots. I'm not finna ever deny my roots. Like, it made me what I am today. But at the same time, I just know that, like, it's not, like, it's a love-hate relationship with the city.
Yeah.
It's just like, why?
you got to get out of here, man. I mean, but, like, if you move into the A, man, you got to realize, like, the A finna change, bro. The A is definitely gonna change you. It could change you for the good, change you, you know, for the worst. But yeah. It can make you a better person. Like, I really think, like, the A, if you're not going to college up there, oh, you're gonna have to grind. Yeah, you're gonna have to.
That's getting expensive because we have people from New York, Chicago, Philly, like, all from up north moving down here because they're like, oh, it's so cheap. So, you know, just like how Atlanta is, they'd be like, oh, we're gonna raise the prices since folks wanna move here. It will never be expensive as up north, but it is much more expensive than what it was versus, what, 5 years ago?
And that's how Rome is. Like, Rome done got super expensive on the cost of living. Like a one-bedroom gonna run you, like, $900 up there at Riverwood. So I'm like, you know.
Well, I remember that stuff was not that much. Like,
it wasn't. Like, Riverwood was, like I think, like, $500.
And like, I think, like, people that were, like, had, like, government assistance would, like, be put there.
Yeah, like, even if you own, like, you know, even if they check your credit, you know, like, low-income houses, like,
you still got to pay. Low-income people, you could live there.
Yeah.
My mom used to work for the housing authority, and she would just be like, I think she mentioned that place at one point because people with low income would be placed there. And it's just like, it's crazy. Like, I think that when I came back to Rome, I think the month of June before I moved into the apartment I'm in now, I realized, I was like, they trying to change stuff. They're trying to add more stuff. I said, Mom, what's this going to be right here? They said, I think they will put a Target right here. I said, a Target? I said, y'all don't need no Target.
For what?
I said, y'all don't need no Target. Y'all barely can act right with a damn shopping center.
Walmart. They can't act right. You got people doing all types of stuff in Walmart.
Right, you can't act right with a Walmart. Well, no one can act right with a Walmart. Walmart is that dystopia of weirdness that just sits. Wherever it, in any city, any state, it just sits. Let's just be honest. Walmart's gonna be Walmart regardless.
That's true. But I mean, like, Rome really don't even need that now. I think they really trying to make Rome Atlanta. Like,
they are.
They got Texas Roadhouse up here. You know, you put new roads up here. Trying to do other stuff. I'm like, bro. Like,
I laughed when I came back home just for a month. And, like, it was during the corona. So, like, a lot of stuff wasn't open. And so I was just over here. I was like, Mom, I was like, why are they trying to do all this? And she said, they're trying to compete with Cartersville and, of course, Atlanta, because folks is moving from there, going to Cartersville, going to Riverdale, going to the cities outside of Atlanta. And I was like, Rome is not the capital of Georgia. Of course, Atlanta finna have more because it's the city, it's the capital of the state. So, of course, they finna have the most and the... I said, I hate to say it, but y'all finna waste y'all money putting all this stuff up here. Ain't nobody up here.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, well, like, and Rome, that is right. Like, a lot of people, well, back in the day, a lot of people were coming to Rome from Atlanta and all that because the price of living was cheap. But now, you know, like you said, you know, people come, they coming up here now, and now it's going up. And another thing is, you know, it's sad to say, but, like, you know, Rome is low, not even low key. I'm just taking that cat out the bag. Like, Rome is racist. Like, and they, like, you know, if you come up here and I'm searching for a house, if I come from Rome, I'm searching for a house, they probably gonna tell you, oh yeah, we can send you to Cali or Forest. We got some housing in East Rome Projects. Oh, we got these apartments, but like, okay, where the good stuff at? And Rome type of place, they keep all the good stuff hidden.
For the white people.
You ain't getting it. Yeah, you ain't getting that unless you
unless you're like a doctor, a lawyer, or like you look like you got money. Like, I hate to say it, like that was also another reason why I had to go, because I realized that my thinking became limited. And I always felt like when you're around limited type of energy, you're going to think very limited. You're going to act very limited. And I realized I got to school, I see all types of black people. So I'm realizing that, like, oh, ain't really nothing wrong with me. It was just something wrong with their thinking. It wasn't nothing I did wrong. It's just they never seen someone like me before. And I went to school, I saw 20 other different types of variations of me that were like, oh, you like that too? Cool. Actually, I like your outfit. That's cool. That's different. I like that. I saw that such and such. Actually, I can make that. It went from what the hell you got on to I like that. That's dope. That's the type of da-da-da-da style. I was like, what? What type of da-da-da style is that? I said, I just saw it on Pinterest and I said, bet. And they were like, oh, no, no, no. That's a name for that. And I just learned so much shit just because I knew somebody and they fought with me in the fact they were like, I recognize that. That's the da-da-da style. That's the streetwear style that they have back in da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, oh, for real? So it's just kind of like, I got to see.
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, everybody in Rome dressed the same. Like, you see everybody in Rome dressed the same, bro. Like, it's the typical stuff. And that's why I don't really shop at Rome Mall. I stopped shopping at Rome Mall. I just, like, if I'm going to Rome Mall, I'm just going to get out, just to walk or something. But other than that, I'm trying to go to Town Center, Kennesaw. I'll go to Calhoun Outlet. I was just in Calhoun Outlet not too long ago. Or I try to go to, I got this shirt 3 days ago from Lenny. So it's like, you know, I don't want to be wrong no more. So, you know, it's.
Look, honestly, though, like, I'm glad you said that, because I was just like, bro, I was like, I've been knowing this man for how long? Like, because when you were like, hey, hit me up, you know, I was like, okay, cool, you want to slide, that's cool, that's what's up. And I was just like, bro, like, I'm just thinking in my head, like, how is he still in Rome doing all the stuff he's doing? Because I would have exploded.
Bro, it's like,
I would have exploded.
It's really like, you will be really, really, listen, you will be really surprised. A lot of people that are verified, they are famous, they live here. I know them. They live here. And one of them, you know, he lived with his and he traveled overseas. Like, he still lived with his parents. Bro, wow. Like, why would you do that? And he told me, he was like, man, like, for what? If I buy a house, I'm not gonna be able to take care of it. I'm traveling all the time.
You're not there.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I'm traveling all the time, bro. So I'm always in a hotel, penthouse. I'm in something other than a house. And I don't got Drake money. I can't just get a house like every you know, stay. So I'm like, you know.
Right, because that's too much.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I'm just with my parents, bro. I'm like, dang, bro. And he make bank. I'm like, dang, bro. That's true. I never thought about it like that. And that's true. But yeah. when you take that big step, you got to have a plan, bro. You can't just want to move somewhere and be like, maybe God is going to bless me. You know, and, hey, look, put the work in.
Yes.
You got to have a plan before you go.
Yeah.